You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well for you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hope the weather was accommodating. But of course, if it wasn't and it had to get done, it must be done, and you will get it done. We all know this. It ain't a question, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. That's right. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. You also can, whatever your search engine is, put in babaoshi.net, 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 and then once again, there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good friend and brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This is the only program on Mondays. Tomorrow, from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. Then on Friday, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard from 8 o'clock on. Then on Saturday, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then once again on Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Products that are produced by us, for us. But, you know, they can be used by anybody. Laundry detergent, deodorants. I mean, all kind of good stuff. Toothpaste, toothbrushes. Yeah. There's a package you can get. I'm not sure how much it is, but they were delivering it free. You know, it might be over $100 maybe, but it's good to support. WeBuyBlack.com. No doubt about that, right? Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Monty Tayemba. He's not ready to go yet because he's not slated to go until November. November 17th through the 28th. Still only $3,800 to go to Tanzania. Some pronounce it Tanzania, but they pronounce it Tanzania. And then to me, what do they pronounce it? Tanzania? Okay, then it's Tanzania. It's just like a Xenia. Except I remember I was at the museum here in Atlanta, the Civil Rights Museum, and an African brother was in the restroom and he had a scarf, you know. And I'm commenting about the scarf because it was from a Xenia. And he said South Africa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I'm going to tell you, Well, no, I'll save that for later. Africa for the Africans. The next trip, of course, is Tanzania, this November 17th through the 28th. And then to Ghana, December 24th to January 5th, 2023. That's $4,000. Then March 30th to April 10th, 2023. Once again, that's $3,800. That's the trip that was postponed to this time, to March 30th to the April 10th, to Senegal and Gambia. And then May 24th to June 5th, 2023, $4,000 to Ghana. And then July 20th through the 29th, $3,800 again. That is to Liberia. As you can see, if the brother can save you some money, if he can make the trip what it was a year before or whatever, he'll try to do that. But of course, he can't raise it up a little bit because, hey, that's understandable. And I know you know that. But he's going to go to Liberia, July 20th through the 29th, to Liberia. And then Tanzania, November 16th through the 27th, 2023. And it's still $3,800 to Tanzania. And then December 24th to January 4th. That's $4,000 going to South Africa, not to Ghana, to South Africa. And brothers and sisters, go to the website, Africa for the Africans. There's information on how you can buy land, you can invest, you can repatriate. All that information is there, all the documents that you need, or whatever is required in terms of visas and shots and so forth. Everything is, if you want to plan a trip to Africa, it is the one stop. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habashah. Habashah Incorporated.org. Habashah stands for helping establish schools at home and abroad. Helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habashah. The Habashah Works program, all the kind of programs that they have. You know, Habashah Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, Urban Green Jobs. And, of course, the Kashi Project, and they have a launch in Africa, in Ghana, October 8th through the 17th, brothers and sisters, October 8th through the 17th of this year. Go to Habashah, go to the website, and find out more information about the trip, the costs, and so forth. And check it out. Habashah Incorporated.org. Ledge, land for the environmental development of group economics. Land for the environmental development of group economics. The Ledge Group. Stop it. Thank you. Oh, gosh, I tell you, man. They sync my iPad with my phone and it just... Gosh, the technology sometimes, huh? You know. Oh, breaking news. It's no damn breaking news. Reports have revealed Trump could be a mere days away from launching another bid for the White House. He can't run. With all this shit on him, he can't run for president again. Let's stop it. That's crazy. What he's done and the fact is what he's done. This is insane. God, I hate this damn country. Oh, man, this is terrible. It really is. I mean, wouldn't you agree? It's insane. This man should even think about running for anything. He should run for his life because they're going to be on his ass. Brothers and sisters, the Ledge Group deals in the four areas of human existence that are necessary, that are vital: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 countries, with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge Group. When I had Peter Brown, he said, yes, still, if you're a member of the Ledge Group, you can buy land in Tanzania. Beautiful land, good land, not some dirt. Okay? So everything that you may need is going to be there for you.
Ledge Group, land for the environmental development of group economics. Bibia Toomey, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I.com. Bibia Toomey is celebrating 16 years of being the most influential and innovative African social education site and the only comprehensive African Liberation University online. That's right. And it's July 17th, next weekend. That's coming on this weekend, July 17th. Well, what is the day? Today is the 11th, so July 17th is Sunday. This Sunday coming up. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you know, I'm going to play that. Brother Kwaku sent me. I'm going to play that. Because I think we need, as an organization of the brothers, taking young people to see, and sisters to see the warriors. Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's going to be a dynamic movie. I've always admired Viola Davis, but now I really admire Viola Davis, man. I can't wait till this movie comes out. We need to take some people. We need to take some children. Maybe mount that at the Let Us Make Men. Not out to movies, man, for sure. We need to see it. So 16 years celebrating of revolutionary African technology. Brothers and sisters, that is going to be this Sunday, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern time. That's this time, East Coast time. You know, from digital idea that they had in 06 to building a physical institution. The reality is there. You got to go check it out, brothers and sisters. It's this Sunday. Abibia Toomey, A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I.com. Abibia Toomey.com. It's my pharmacy. It's my pharmacy. I tell you, I love Bibia Toomey. It's my pharmacy. SMAIFARMACY.com. It's my pharmacy. Brothers and sisters, contact Brother Jabril. Give him a call at 731-327-6229. That's 731-327-6229. And he can develop and plan for you. Schedule an appointment. Y'all can talk about what you're wanting to do, what you're looking for, things that are happening with you and your body, and you know how you want to not take all these poisonous medications. And they can do something for you. If you want to send them an email, send them an email at smaipharmacy@gmail.com. That's SMAIFARMACY@gmail.com. SmyPharmacy@gmail.com. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Youth Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta, right down the street from where I live, Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. Wadada's is located right across the street from Soul Veg, and they've done some good work at Soul Veg. Place looks good. And then up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is open on weekends, the bookstore, and you can buy clothing and furniture and books, you know, figurines and so forth. And that's on Friday and Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 3 on Sunday, but from 1 to 7. That is the Shrine of the Black Madonna, located up the street, 946 Ralph David Abernathy. And the number to call is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. Once again, only open on Friday and Saturdays. Well, Dada's, of course, is open every day. Serving delicious smoothie and fruit drinks and health drinks and pastries. They even have vegan food on Saturday and Sunday. You can buy a vegan dish on Saturday and Sunday. And their health market is, I mean, I've seen the evolution of Wadada's. That sister needs to be commended, and brothers and sisters, in our community need to be commended for the support that is given with daughters over the years. Because I'm going to tell you, I've seen the evolution. It is fantastic. They're doing a fantastic job. No doubt. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Check out Mama Nia in the Greenbrier Mall. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, you name it, she has. It's a beautiful place she has. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Call her to see if she has the books that you're looking for. And if she doesn't, believe me, she'll get them. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore that we promote as well is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. That is east off of I-20. East of here off of I-20. Once you get off of I-20, not too far, is the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar in Lithonia. Give my good brother Kazimde Ajamu a call at 770-305-6373. That's 770-305-6373. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. There is light in the Black Dot. Afroletics has a store in the new Black Wall Street Market located in Stonecrest. Just go a little bit further than the next exit up from, if you would have taken that to the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, just take the next exit up, the next exit east, which is exit 75 and Turner Hill Road. Make a right, go down three lights, make a right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. Check it out. Check it out, family. They're not open today. My suggestion is you go there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are the busiest days. The new Black Wall Street Market. Us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us lifting us. Their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com. You go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win, and you can listen on your computer. But if you want to call to listen, you can do that, and you can call also to ask questions, comments, or concerns. The program is from 9 to 10 every Thursday night from 9 to 10. Us, lifting us. The number to call, 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us, lifting us. Open tomorrow on Tuesdays to Sunday. That is Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah has a beautiful place, man. He's stacked too. He's got furniture, clothing, even has a vegan restaurant in there. Incense oils, DVDs, CDs. Man, he's got it all. One-stop shop. Give him a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth number 225. Brothers and sisters, give my good sister Shelly Amonset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Aidi, Sister Gabriel Aurelia is doing great work. I mean, great work in the northeast portion of the island of Haiti. And the beautiful children that they have there for education, health care, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I .org. Sanjay dash Haiti
AcupunInstitute.org. Acupun Institute, let me go to Acupun Institute because they got a lot of things going on. You know Baba Broody going to have some things going on. You know he's got an online program starting in a few weeks. African Center Online Homeschool Tutorial Program. The Acupun Institute is a full-time African-centered homeschool program beginning its 24th year of operation. 24 years. Courses include math, language arts, science, social studies, including African and African-American history or American-African history, and the game of chess. Courses are taught by instructors who have experience educating elementary through high school and college-level students. And who's it for? Okay. Who's it for? Open to students from the 4th grade to the 12th. From the 4th grade to the 12th. And for the academic year 2022-23. And it's Zoom. These are Zoom. So contact Baba Baruti on Inia Baruti at 404-753-7237. Now listen, as you're listening to me about this, you may know a family that would love to have their child educated in an African-centered way. Give them this information. Have them call the Barutis at 404-753-7237. And they can email Inia, Ya Baruti, YAABARUTI, at Yahoo, or Mawalimu Baruti, MWALIMU, BARUTI at Yahoo. Or on Facebook, Acupun Institute, Mwalimu Baruti, Baba Baruti, or Yah Baruti. It starts August 1st. The educational African Center educational journey starts August 1st for your child or somebody who you know or who you love. Maybe it's your grandchild. Get it started. Yep. Okay, Liberated Minds. The 11th annual Liberated Minds Black Homeschool and Education is on virtual as well. And that's 2 weeks from now, July 22nd to the 24th. And they just do outstanding work. Sister Queen Thais, and just a beautiful sister. Also, too, Baba Baruti will be doing some presentation, the reconceptualization of the identity of warrior education, and the 11th annual Liberated Minds Black Homeschool and Education Expo, lectured by Baba Baruti, the reconceptualized identity of an African educator. The reconceptualized identity of an African educator. That's going to be Sunday, the 24th, at 12:30 to 2:30. Sunday the 24th, 12:30 to 2:30. So. And let's see what else we got for the Baruti. Ah, here's a men's quarterly. Okay. Please register by doing the following. And this is Warriors in Training. It's a make $10 donation, $5 Warriors in Training. You can send it PayPal to Yah Baruti at Yahoo. Or you can send Cash App at $ Yah Baruti. Include your pertinent information, Warriors, Negroes, and Lost Souls. It's going to be a great presentation. Warriors, Negroes, and Lost Souls, your name, your email address, and, of course, the link. You can get the link. Warriors, Negroes, and Lost Souls. That's right. That's right, Baba Baruti. From his book, Negroes. Warriors, Negroes, and Lost Souls. That's going to be August 6th. Saturday, August 6th, from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Now, of course, when he does a training, and so does Inia, and hers is going to be that evening, Saturday, August 6th, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And it's the Sister Circle. And the topic, our life lessons equal life blessings. Our life lessons equal life blessings. That is going to be Saturday the 6th from 4 to 6. And then donations adult is $10 and $5 for teens. Yep. And then Kibuka. That is in November, November 19th. Brothers and sisters, Kibuka. I do hope that it will be virtual and in person, because the impact in person is just too deep. It really is. Kibuka. Looking at the Middle Passage through the eyes of our ancestors. Remembering the Middle Passage through the eyes of our ancestors. All right. Okay. We're done with the announcements. But what else I got to do? Oh, that's right. I got to do the Inye Sese of Daily Revolutionary Thought. You got to do that, Brother Oshi. You got to. In fact, I'm going to do three of them. Three of the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Little readers. I'm going to give me some glasses, y'all. I got to. I got to. July 9th. I'm doing the 10th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. There is in the souls of African folk, even when inarticulate and crippled, a yearning toward African validation. Gwendolyn Brooks. We do not need the Europeans' approval to properly educate our children or ourselves. We do not need their institutions. We do not need their curriculum. We do not need their voices in our ears or faces in our eyes. We do not need their validation to be African. The only thing we need is the will and knowing of our ancestors. I repeat, the only thing we need is the will and knowing of our ancestors. With that determination and knowledge, the debate over our validation to be African, to be powerful, to nation build, to intelligently and consciously follow in the footsteps of our ancestors. We do, however, need to know how to think critically from our African Senate. We do need to be willing to openly embrace the struggle within that produces the sovereigntists without. The struggle within that produces the sovereigntists without. And we definitely need to anticipate victory. We are indeed a most beautiful, magnificent people, and nothing that anyone does in an effort to disprove it can do anything but enhance this fact. Affirm, I yearn for African validation only. I yearn for African validation only. July 11th. There was never captivity in Kemet society, at the time of the pharaohs. In antiquity, Kemetic women were never dominated by Kemetic men. Lastly, there has never been a social class or struggle between social classes in the Marxist sense of the word, not during the long history of ancient Kemet. Dr. Thelophilia Obinga, Dr. Obinga, along with Dr. Shekhan Jab, kicked those Europeans' ass in 1974 at the symposium in Cairo. The debate was won. The shit should be settled. But it still goes on, because why? Caucasians suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe they're superior. And ain't a damn thing that we can say and prove, no matter how substantial, how concrete the proof is. That's why I hate that. Any social order requires a division of labor based on ability. And within this division, an order evolves to ensure effective decision making and delegation of responsibilities. But this does not necessarily imply a hierarchical ranking as it does in the European mind. And even when there is some accepted degree of hierarchy, the emphasis on qualitative differences of responsibility based on ability and mastery, not quantitative ones decided by possessions and or ascribed by privilege. This is so especially if all concerned recognize that they are working for a common good and that each individual is working at that which he or she is best suited in accomplishing this good. Specifically, outside of Western or Arab domination, Africans have never had a hierarchy of oppression. This conceptualization of hierarchy is extremely difficult for the mind raised in an oppressive, invictus, and insidious in introducing culture to comprehend because it does not fit any form of reality that can conceive. Hierarchy without oppressive rankings of people is beyond their capacity to understand. They got to oppress people. They got to. So it only makes sense for them to conclude that the Africans who physically built Kemet were slaves because this is how they build things. Regardless of my position, I never oppress other Africans. I will never oppress other Africans. Revolution is not a speed race. It is a race for he who runs to the end of his life. It is not a race for racehorses. It is a race for war horses. Let me repeat. Revolution is not a speed race. It is a race for he who runs to the end of his life. It is not a race for racehorses. It is a race for war horses. Kwame Ture, Stokely Carmichael, Kwame Ture. Warriors are not an accident of birth. We are planned. We just have to see the plan. European science would have us believe there is no plan. They would have us believe that we just happened. They would have us believe that there is no ancestral connection. They would have us believe that we are not given instructions, a mission in Inkubria, your personal mission, before returning to this battlefield. And as long as we believe this idiotic and operative as and operate as Negroes and lost souls, and in reality where everything white is to be feared and held in awe, and everything of our tradition is to be abhorred and dismissed as backwards and insanity, we will subside as the living dead, dismissed by our children, the shame of our ancestors, and consciously disconnected from spirit through imitation of despiritualized lesser gods. Becoming warriors is not an accident of birth. It is a choice made before birth, realized after. As our name implies, we are here to wage war against our people's enemies, whether in preparation or actual physical fulfillment of the dream. We are warriors. In fact, we have no choice. We owe these who battle before, those who are without defense and hope today, and our reinforcements yet to come. Affirm, I am no accident. I am the ancestors' intent. Affirm, I am no accident. I am the ancestors' intent. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. A friend of mine's birthday was yesterday. A number of birthdays. In fact, one of the birthdays from yesterday is the Dramatics, Willie Ford. And I didn't know Willie Ford died, because I had seen Willie Ford back in when I came back from the Soul Train Cruise. And on the Soul Train Cruise was the Dramatics, the L.J. Reynolds Dramatics. See, there's some L.J. Reynolds Dramatics. And there was some Willie Ford Dramatics, because L.J. Reynolds and Willie Ford were the last two that were living. Squirrel, he went back into teaching in L.A. And all the others had passed on. Ron Banks, Lenny Mays, Ouija, you know, they had passed on. And so L.J. Reynolds started, I don't know what the discussion was, you know, but Willie Ford was there before L.J. Reynolds. You know, he was there right in 64, you know, when Ouija was the lead, one of the lead singers of the Dramatics, and what you see is what you get and so forth. But they, you know, looking for, you know, it's a good documentary. You go to YouTube. Of course, go to YouTube. Go to YouTube and go to Unsung. And I'm not quite sure you've seen Unsung on BET or the other network, Unsung. Go to YouTube, Unsung, the Dramatics, and they'll give you, you know, 40 minutes or 45 minutes, a good history of how they formed the Dramatics and so forth, and all the things that they've gone through, you know. And I know that in that Unsung, Willie Ford is still living. And, of course, L.J. Reynolds, because he's still living. And the Dramatics that L.J. Reynolds put together, Leon Franklin sings the falsettos that Ron Banks, and Leon Franklin is cold, and he's also from Detroit, and he's cold. And of course, L.J. sings all of the parts, and they have a brother that sings like Lenny, and a bass singer, you know. And so, you know, I love the Dramatics. I really do. That's my favorite group. I've followed them from the very beginning of my understanding in the 70s when they had What You See Is What You Get. You know, anytime they want to play somewhere, I try my best to get there. If they were in the vicinity, I remember I was working second shift, took off from work, and they didn't show. I was pissed. The show was canceled. I was like, damn. Yeah. The Dramatics. And Willie Ford. And so he had a group. And so I came back. And he was playing at a club here in the Atlanta area. And and he had his group. And they sung all the good old songs. And there was one song that he was highlighted on, and that is Me and Mrs. Jones. And there's a couple of things I'm going to do today. I'm going to play that at the break. But there's another person whose birthday it is today, aside from Willie Ford, and that's the jazz trumpeter, Lee Morgan. And Lee Morgan, there is a documentary. Once again, you can go to YouTube. No, go to Netflix. Go to Netflix. Call Me Morgan. Go to Netflix. And, you know, Lee Morgan, there's a piece I'm going to play. Because he was influenced by another trumpeter. And he played with everybody. He played with all the best, Clifford Brown. He was influenced by Clifford Brown. And in fact, took lessons from Clifford Brown as a teenager. Clifford Brown passed, and he paid tribute to Cliff Brown for Clifford with the Jazz Messengers. And, of course, the Jazz Messengers is Art Blakey on drums, Lee Morgan on trumpet, Benny Goldston on saxophone, Bobby Timmons, piano, and Jamie Merritt on bass. And I tell you, but he played with Coltrane. And so the documentary on Netflix. Check it out. Check it out. It's sad. He's killed by his, he was killed early in the morning on February 19th of 1972 at Slug Saloon, a jazz club in New York on the East Village, where his band was performing following an altercation between sets. Morgan's common-law wife, Ellen Morgan, shot him. The injuries were not immediately fatal, but the ambulance was slow in arriving on the scene as the city had experienced a heavy snowfall that resulted in extreme difficult in driving conditions. So it took so much longer than it normally would have. And Morgan bled to death. He was 33 years old. She was arrested. She was arrested and spent a short time in prison before being released. And then she later, she moved back to North Carolina and she died from a heart condition. I call him Morgan. It's a documentary, I apologize. I call him Morgan. And check it out. Good documentary. In fact, my good friend Muhammad Abdullah, he turned me on to it, and I turned him on to, well, because we're always informing each other about stuff, and of course you heard him in on this program. You will hear him again soon one day on something. And in fact, one of the Sidewinder is, for him, is one of the best ones on the Blue Note label, the Sidewinder. There's so many others, you know. Lee Morgan. I call him Morgan. Check it out, documentary. So we're gonna play this piece by Lee Morgan. And his birthday was, like I said, his birthday was, you know. Get out of here. Lee Morgan, with the Jazz, Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. Lee Morgan, a tribute to Clifford Brown. I remember Clifford. A man who taught him almost everything he knows, huh? Yeah. It's that time, so we're going to play another cut. And that's going to be the Dramatics, featuring Willie Ford. And that was the one thing about the Dramatics. Oh, by the way, once again, they call me Morgan on Netflix. Go to Netflix if you don't have it. If somebody does, you know does. Go to, you know, check them out. It's a great documentary. It is really good. Check it out. Willie Ford was the bass singer for the Dramatics. And like I said, I didn't know that he had passed. Found it out just the other day when he said his birthday. I was like, wow. And a few years ago. Because I know I saw him when I got back from the Soul Train cruise, seeing L.J. Reynolds and his version of the Dramatics. And then seeing Willie Ford. And of course, Willie Ford was out front. And there was one song that he was truly out front on, and that was Me and Mrs. Jones. You know, it's the thing about the Dramatics. If they get a song, the song will be theirs. And I know Billy Paul, and you know, another Philadelphian, and he did a beautiful job. It's a song. But the Dramatics took that song, brothers and sisters. Just like Be My Girl, Michael Henderson. That's the Dramatics song. They get a song, man, and it's over. But that harmony, and everybody can sing lead. And oh, man, I love these brothers. I really do love them. Brothers and sisters, this is, oh, what am I talking about? I need to do it this way, Donna. Yes, I do. Let me do it right.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. The Dramatics. That's my group. You know, some people love the Temps. Impressions, the Miracles, Four Tops, so many other soul groups, the Whispers. Well, I love the Whispers. I mean, you know, there's so many, but that was for me, that was my group, and all those brothers could just, they could sing. And Willie Ford, that was his highlight song. So on his birthday, which was yesterday, we highlight Willie Ford. May he rest. Today we're going to talk about, I already did the announcement, so I'm not going to go back over that. I'm just going to go right into this presentation to talk about who we are. I ain't going to talk about who we are. I'm going to talk about who they are. Jeffrey Robinson did a documentary, Who We Are, chronicling, this is the chronicle of racism in America. Now, understand, we as African people cannot be racist. We can be mean-spirited. We can be bigoted. We can be prejudiced.
Prejudice means to prejudge. Bigoted, just strong feelings towards one particular group. You know, mean-spiritedness that you just don't like that group and would try to do something if you could to stymie that group. But racism says because my race is superior over yours, I have the ability and the right to degrade you, to stop you. I can tell you where you can live. I can tell you what schools you can go to or can't go to or where you can't live, the job you have, whether you're going to rise on that job or not. The European, the Caucasian, has had all of these advantages. All of these advantages. That's why when they talk about white privilege, you know, some people just don't understand it. No, it's not like they're definitely a privilege, but because you are Caucasian, you have advantages in the society. More so than other people, more so than Africans, Asians, and Latinos, and indigenous people. In fact, in that hierarchy, we're at the bottom. We're at the bottom, and we've been at the bottom. And we'll stay at the bottom as long as we try our best to participate in this madness. That's where we're going to be. Only until we release the vice grip that this cracker has on our minds and think outside the imposed boundary that they have set will we become a respected people. And I don't give a damn if nobody respects us outside of us as long as we are self-respecting. The documentary, and it's streaming as well on Netflix. It is streaming on Netflix. Here's a interview with Mark Lamont Hill. Mark Lamont Hill, who I like. I like Mark Lamont Hill. He's interviewing Jeffrey Robinson and discusses the documentary. You know, so let's give a listen. It's only about less than 10 minutes, and then we're going to go deep into it. And because, you know, the title I gave this is not who we are, because that's not us. It's who they are. This is who they are. This is not who we are. And I maintain, you know, they're emphatic about the Civil War being fought because of slavery. The Civil War was fought because of economics, period. I don't give a damn what anybody wants to say. The free labor of the economy of the South against the emerging industrialization of the North. That's why it was fought. And that's why they told the Southern states. That's why the Southern states wanted to secede. I'm going to put a tax on the amount of money that you bring in because of how you derive your income off free labor. Cotton was king. And they said, no. Mm-mm. Oh, you got to check out the documentary. One thing I must say, the brother did a good job of presenting information. There's no doubt about that. You know, he looks at some of the murders that happened by the authorities, the police. He looks at historical situations that have happened, particularly Tulsa. My good brother, Chief Ogumawale, he's in the documentary, Brother Chief Ogumawale. Yep. So it's a good documentary. It's done by William Kunstler's daughters. Two of William Kunstler's daughters, their documentaries. The documentary was done by them. And definitely worth watching. But once again, as I said, you know, the premise of it is not, we ain't in this. It's them. It's who they are. not us. We have no ability to include or exclude. It's not us. It is them. It is them who redline. All of these things come out in the documentary. All of them. That this government, that this very system, you know. So, this is Mark Lamont Hill in his interview with Jeffrey Robinson.
To Black News Tonight. The murder of George Floyd has exposed the need for a global conversation on racial injustices. In the national scope, it's also encouraged many people to challenge the legacy of white supremacy and to be more intentional in the fight against inequality. And that's the case for our next guest. He is former ACLU Deputy Legal Director Jeffrey Robinson. He's also the writer and producer of the documentary Who We Are, A Chronicle of Racism in America. Take a look.
We had been on a path toward racial justice that was amazing. There was the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act. We were at a tipping point. Once again, America is having to look at issues of race dead in the eye, and once again, we are at a tipping point. And the question for all of us in this room is, what are we going to do about it?
Combining Robinson's personal story and archival footage and, of course, interviews, the film invites us to take a critical look at America's slavery past and be involved in building a more just future for Black Americans. Who We Are has been awarded in many film festivals around the country, and it's going to be released in New York and L.A. theaters on January 14th. And now here to talk about this and much more is the writer and producer of Who We Are, A Chronicle of Racism in America. The man's name is Jeffrey Robinson, and we are so honored to have him here. Jeffrey, so good to see you. You start your documentary mentioning that America was making a lot of progress to achieve racial equality, but after MLK's murder, it reached a tipping point. Why do you think racial justice was within reach, and what happened for that to change?
Well, number one, thank you for having me. I think America has been at tipping points at several points in our history, at least three other points before this one we're in right now. But when Dr. King came to Memphis for the sanitation strike, he had been on essentially a 12 or 13 year run since 1955. And remember what we were coming out of at that time. Separate but equal had been the law of America for 90 years after the Civil War. And in a 12-year period, Brown versus the Board is decided. We are integrating lunch counters. We are integrating schools. We are integrating public accommodations. We are integrating interstate travel. There, the Voting Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act. There was a movement because people were taking a real hard look at exactly who we were as Americans at that point. And when Dr. King got killed in my hometown of Memphis in 1968, it felt like we just rolled back, because what came next was Richard Nixon and the war on drugs. And that started a decline in our community that was significant.
Well, it's a provocative thesis. You know, some of us are a little more cynical and believe that trajectory would have happened either way. But it's an interesting place to investigate and sort of think through the possibilities of racial democracy in general. And to make a documentary on that, I think, is so necessary. What inspired you to create the documentary? And why do you think that film as a tool, as a mode, as a genre, is a solid way to advocate this, as opposed to a book, as opposed to a series of newspaper articles, as opposed, you know, all the sort of things we've been seeing?
I think there are several things that go into that. And because of personal circumstances in my family, back in 2011, my 13-year-old nephew in New York became my 13-year-old son in Seattle. And all of a sudden, after years and years as a criminal defense lawyer confronting racial injustice in the criminal legal system, it got really personal because now this young man is in my home and I didn't have other children and I got terrified. So I started to read. I don't even know what I was looking for, but what I found were things about the history of white supremacy and anti-black racism in our country that I had never heard before. And I've had one of the best educations in America, Marquette University and Harvard Law School. And so I went into a depression, quite frankly. I thought, you ignorant, stupid piece of whatever. How could you not have known this stuff? How did you not understand this history? And when I finally started to forgive myself, I started asking myself, well, maybe I should blame my teachers. And then I thought, well, if they didn't know, how are they going to teach me? And I started wondering, I wonder how many Americans really know the details of our history. And I'm talking about an unbroken line of white supremacy and anti-black racism from 1619 to today. And it's not just me saying this as an opinion. It's going to original source documents. It's going to events in history that no one can deny. And this is the look at who we really are as a country and why America looks like it does today when it comes to the gap between white America and black America in virtually every aspect of living.
In the film, you mix different types of, in Who We Are, Chronicle of Racism in America, you mix different types of footage. Your 2018 town hall speech, your personal story, your interviews. As a filmmaker, talk to me about how you were able to make those decisions about combining those different strands.
The luckiest day in the life of this project was in April of 2017 when I met Sarah Kunstler, who is the daughter of William Kunstler, the famous civil rights lawyer. And she and her sister Emily were filmmakers. Sarah saw my presentation and she and Emily called me and said, we need to meet with you. We want to make this into a film. And you were asking earlier, like, why a film instead of a book? And I think that in my study as a trial lawyer for over 40 years, in my education, in my looking at history, one of the things that I've come to understand is the power of narrative. It is an incredibly powerful force in the way human beings understand the world. And film gives you an opportunity to tell a narrative in so many different ways. So as you suggested, part of this film is me on stage at Town Hall Theater in New York City in front of a packed house talking about this history that's the backbone of the film. Part of the film is archival footage. We actually found in an old Fox Movietone file footage of June 1st, 1921. Of the Tulsa Massacre, and we paid to have it digitized. So that will never be lost. And then we were able to interview Mother Randall, 107 years old, one of the two or three surviving people from the Tulsa Massacre. When you see those images and hear those words coming from people who have lived the story, it has a power that other mediums don't. And so I was able to hook up with two brilliant filmmakers who were dedicated to putting on film the ideas that I had and the message that I wanted to deliver without trying to change it or edit it or make it into something that it wasn't.
Wow. Well, it's a powerful job you did, and I can't wait for the world to see it. These New York and LA premieres are just the start. Everyone, you will have access to this amazing and award-winning film very, very soon. Jeffrey, thank you for joining the show tonight, and congratulations on the film. Everybody, make sure you watch Who We Are, A Chronicle of Racism in America. The documentary will be released this Friday, January 14th, again, in New York and Los Angeles theaters, and lots of other places very, very soon. Everybody.
Yeah, Who We Are, I say. Who they are, because it ain't us. It sure the hell ain't us, you know. And I enjoyed the documentary. I liked the brother, you know. But of course, the brother, you know, he had a Catholic education. His family, his mother and father, who he called unicorns because of their insistence on providing him with a good environment. Even when in Memphis, after the riot and so forth, they were able to buy a house in a particular neighborhood because they didn't buy the house. The Caucasian bought the house and gave it to him. Well, sold it to him, see? So, because he tried and he couldn't, they couldn't get a house. And so, you know, and he went to Catholic schools. He was the only kid on the basketball team. And then they were going to play some team. And of course, they said, no, y'all, you know, we're not going to play you guys because you got this kid on the team. And then the father of that school said, wait a minute, no, we're not doing that no more. You know, he let him play. And of course, one of the players on the other team called him a nigger. You know, and his father said, well, what are you going to do? You want to quit? Want to go home? Or you want to play? I want to play. Go ahead and play. You know. So, and I understand his fortunate upbringing. You know, as he was talking, because I'm a little older than he is, he's like about 60, I think 7 or 8. I'm just a couple few years older than he is, 70. And I, you know, came up during that time. Of course, I came up not in the South, but in the North, in Milwaukee, which is, of course, one of the most segregated cities in this country historically, and where open housing marches were led by a Caucasian, Father James Groppi. Yeah. But that's not who we are. That's who they are. That is their history. In fact, what needs to be understood is the history of Europeans. We need to critically look at their evolutionary development of why they're like this. I've stated this on this program many times. Read Michael Bradley, A Caucasian, The Iceman's Inheritance. There are others who chronicle that the European coming up in the way that he did, or they did, caused them to genetically have this evil, selfish, greedy mindset. And that's in their DNA. That is not ours. That is not who we are. It is who they are. And everything they did was designed to keep them in the position of privilege. That's why you Caucasians can hail these so-called founding fathers all you want and how great they were. Just like Chuck D and Public Enemy. Elvis didn't mean shit to me. Elvis was a thief. He was an appropriator. Cultural bandit. And proof of it. And that's who they are. They're thieves. They're cultural bandits. They're liars. When I said that the Civil War was not fought because we were captives, the Civil War was fought because of the economics. Because then why, after the Civil War was fought, and we fought too, but they talk about the number of Caucasians who sacrificed themselves in this battle. More people have died because they were Americans killing Americans in a civil war than any other war that this country has fought. And believe me, they fought a lot of wars. Every few years, this country's got to be engaged in a war. It's because it's who they are. They are a warlike people. Join this conversation, family. Give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're talking about the documentary Who We Are by Jeffrey Robinson. He went to Marquette, a nice Jesuit university. Then he went to Yale Law. So, you know, I was trying to look and see if he was married to a Caucasian. You know. Then they had his name, it says his wife, and when you click on that, you know, that wouldn't come up. And so I didn't see him. You know. I'm not sure what his wife looks like, but I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. And that's him. And he's in his belief that, you know, if we, and what's interesting, what he just did was take a critical look at race to the opposite of all the fervor in the last few years about critical race theory. And all the backlash. So, I'm on this microphone every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. And I'm saying the same thing. I know I'm redundant, but I'm just trying to give positive reinforcement to the idea of independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. I'm trying desperately to put into the minds of our people that we must be Pan-Africanists. Pan-Africanism or perish. And we must be unified, because if we're not unified, we will die. But America, when you try to be a part of America, America is about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. That's what America's about. You see what's happening right now with this so-called economy and all this other stuff. It's greed. It's greed. Somebody's mentioned, you know, I don't know if you get this poll. I get this poll. And it's a conservative poll since you know, Trump been in office. And even as he got Oliver, they maintain the poll all the time. Poll king, you know, and it's very right wing, you know. So if they ask a particular question, you know what the answers are going to be. Very right wing, you know. And the kind of question that they ask and what they're coming from, of course, is to the benefit of Caucasians, to the benefit of the dominant society. And even though the majority of the people here, and I maintain that they would say that, they may vote that way, but they're happy with their comfortability or their comfortable position of the privilege that they have obtained. So they'll say, no, we need only with the real white right wingers and those, you know, would say otherwise. Because that's who they are. It is who they are. So when I looked at this the other day, I said, that's going to be a good topic. because I mentioned this some time before. But we don't want to deal with this. We wish, just as Jeffrey Robinson hopes and wishes, that we would come to some kind of reckoning. Just as he said, he uses this hill, there's a little ball going up the hill. And then the incident happens and the ball goes back down the hill, the tipping point. It is not ever. If you understand these people, it will never fully tip our way. These people who you're talking about, look at how they behave in Congress. Look how they behave in the Senate. Look how certain states are and states' rights. You're seeing that more today. You would think after all these damn years. So, you're naive. You don't believe. In fact, what did Maya Angelou say when somebody presents themselves to you the first time? Believe them. This is how they are. Believe them. This is who they are. That's not who we are. It is not how African people are. It is not how African people are. Yes, I know. Don't trip out. I know. I know the dynamics. It's just like I got into a thing with my friend, my good brother. You know, because, you know, there's some people who, you know, who blame us constantly. Constantly blame us. And don't understand why we can't think right, act right, behave. Do the right thing. Because it's not meant to do that. It's not meant for us to do that here. It is not. When you see when we've done the right thing. 334, good afternoon, 334, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshia Habarigani. How are you?
Oh, and Jim Habarigani. Long time no hear from, Brother Lusk. How you doing?
I'm hanging there and was confronted with some life issues I had to take care of.
Man. Oh, for sure, brother. Please. So, yeah, good.
So that's why I was off the wire and trying to take care of myself.
Right on. Well, let's hope and pray that you continue. Let's hope and pray that continues.
Yeah, I wanted to check in with you to say hello.
Oh man, thank you.
Just slowly but surely getting back on my feet, man. I tell you the truth.
Well,
this
listen,
hot weather ain't playing.
I know, that's right. Hey, well, listen, man, I hope and pray that it continues. You continue on the upward tick of better health, better existence, and that, you know, because, I got to come see you, man. You know, we got to make that plan.
Well, just to update you, you didn't have a specific topic you were talking about right now, huh?
No, not really, not right now. Oh. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, just to update you real quick, this weekend we had an opportunity to acknowledge in our Ma'afa commemoration at the Alabama River. And for those who attended, it was something like about 24, 25 people. They were really, really received with the information and the kind and type of ceremonies that we had done. We poured libations. And honored the ancestors, had a whole lot of African drumming. Excuse me, with some brothers came in from Birmingham. So for those who were there and present, we had a good time together and fellowshipping and being able to chop up some different items and just talk and fellowship with one another.
Right on, beautiful.
Also a part of that ceremony was used white carnations to dedicate those white carnations into the Alabama River and to remember the ancestors that way.
Outstanding.
So Montgomery, like every other American city, has had its part in American history that African enslaved African people were brought here to not only build Montgomery, but build Alabama as well as build this nation. So we wanted to honor them in our little gathering.
I say, that's beautiful, brother, to remember the ancestors and to remember the history. That's great. That's vitally important.
Yes.
You should never forget, man.
And yes, sir. Because, never forget. Never forget.
No, because that's
and,
what...
And just I'll keep you posted.
Hello? Go ahead.
Yeah. Just to keep you posted, the 107th gathering of the Carter G. Woodson Association for the Study of Negro Life and History will be held here in Montgomery, Alabama. The latter part of September, early part of October. So September 28th, 29th, 30th, and October 1st. So I'll keep you posted on
Please
that.
Please do. I may come there. I may drive there. Yes, sir.
Yes. And as a matter of fact, its theme this year is Black Health and Wellness. So if all goes well, I sure would love to see Dr. Bruce Bridges here and him.
Yeah.
With regards to his book, Recapturing the African Mind,
yes.
Since, you know, that's part of this health and wellness too as well. So
mm-hmm.
Just thought I'd put that plug in.
Oh, and, man, we'll be talking then.
I haven't forgotten about you.
Yeah, we'll be talking
then,
that's
just,
for sure.
Like I said, he has some life issues,
mm-hmm.
Brother Oshie, and just slowly but surely getting myself back together again.
Please do, brother. Continue on good health. I hope and pray that it happens, okay? I say, brother Lux.
All righty.
Yeah, that's my good brother, Brother Lus. Theodore Lus, he hadn't been on in a while. I was wondering. But now we know, and now we pray that he continues on that particular path and all the good stuff that he's done. And, man, I'll tell you, when I first started doing this, and he started coming on a few years ago, and just always asking good questions, always inquisitive, wants to know. And so, Brother Lus, thank you so much. And all the stuff that he has sent me over the years too. Yes, yeah, so I was wondering why my good brother wasn't around, but now we know, and hopefully he'll continue to be around. Yep. So, getting back to this situation, and this is not just something that happens in the South. It happens throughout this country. It happens throughout wherever the Europeans are and we are. It happens. Europeans, you know, somebody said, well, can we trace this? And I heard a name that I had not heard before in terms of a European writing something and saying, and basically putting themselves in a superior top position. And of course, that says that once they have done that, everybody will be in a lower position. But you could go to... and look up, I got to get the guy's name, you know, but you can look up Carol Linnaeus and Johann Blumenbach. You can look those two up, Carol Linnaeus and Johann Blumenbach. Carol Linnaeus and Johann Blumenbach did the stratification of African people with the European at the top position. And everybody else a lower position with us at the lowest position. The Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid stratification. And that's why. And then that's why everywhere around the globe, melanated, deeply melanated people are shunned, are considered ugly, are considered, you know, when they look at their hair and they look at their features, so forth. You know, and even though, you know, and I know for me, I mean, I love us. I love the way we look. Okay, granted, I don't look like a typical African because of the situation that we have found ourselves in for these many hundreds of years. You know, my father looked like he was Caucasian. Never knew my father, you know. It looked like he was called. Could, I don't know if he could pass or not. No, but he was an entertainer, and he had a black dummy. He was a ventriloquist, you know, and so he looked like he was, you know, a Caucasian, but he had a black dummy. So, but there was many, you know, people who looked Caucasian. Freddie Washington, she was a beautiful sister, looked Caucasian. Back at the time of Oscar Michal and movies coming out when they started talking and so forth, she didn't deny who she was, you know. Lena Horne, there were many who looked Caucasian, but they identify with being us. Some probably wanted to look Caucasian so they could, quote, pass. But there was a few features here and there, shades here and there, hair here and there, that you know, give them away. And if you remember The Imitation of Life, there's two of them. It might be more. There's two of them that I know, one with Claudette Colbert and the other one with Lana Turner. Claudette Colbert is the earlier one with the Beavers. She played the maid. And then the 50s one with Lana Turner, Sandra Dee, and oh, what's my sister's name? You know, so I apologize. So, and if you remember, she wanted to pass. She wanted to be white so bad. And then Mama came to visit her while she was in the strip club. And that was the actor, Donahue, who whooped her ass in the alley trying to pass. But many of us, there are some of us who know they could not pass. So I'm Donahue. I'm saying I'm white. I'm classifying myself as white. Because white people have all advantage. So no, I'm going to be white. No, I'm not black. I don't know if anybody remember that episode of Donahue, Phil Donahue show, Heavyset Brother. You know, this whole situation, dear brothers and sisters, has caused us great mental anguish, and that we have developed a menticide. That's the phrase that Dr. Bobby Wright has coined, that Baba Baruti consistently uses, because it's the killing of our minds, the menticide process. And like I said, that's my friend, you know, who constantly blames us. He constantly blames us as if somehow this is a fair system and we're too lazy and unintelligent. I can imagine when the brothers and sisters came out of the captivity and began to work together and then were blessed and fortunate for those who were in Tulsa because of the oil, that many people moved there and that was going to be a true Mecca for African people. But the jealousy and envy and mean-spiritedness and racism of the Caucasian would not allow that to happen. And it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter. You can even be in Canada. The Caucasian is the Europe, Australia, wherever, on your soil in Africa. It doesn't matter. The mindset of the Caucasian is what it is. And that mindset is that we must be in control. We must dominate. We must dictate. It is our way. We'll give you illusions of your inclusion. will give you a perception and yet we keep thinking that we can somehow appeal to their moral nature. They are not moral. They're amoral. They're amoral. A in the society means not. Apolitical, not political. Asexual, not sexual. And that's what they are. And we keep thinking, because that's how we are, we're empathetic. We're sympathetic because we're the first humans. We didn't develop in an environment that they developed in that was cold and harsh and mean. That wasn't the environment that we came up in. Environment so harsh that they're antithetic to women. They hate women. Study the Greek situation. When Baba Nana Hochi passed, I went into a place and I saw a poster of him saying, "I have studied African culture for many years and never have I found homosexuality." I'm paraphrasing. "I've never found homosexuality in African culture." Now, of course, homosexuals would say, well, they were too afraid, and if they came out being homosexual, that would probably have meant death and so forth, that homosexuality is a natural thing that happens to human beings. I don't want to get into a debate whether it's something natural or something that happens or something genetic or something whatever. I don't give a damn. Only thing that I know, that we need families. We need men and women for families. That is the foundation. That is the foundation. Now, if it comes to be that somebody says, well, you know, I'm a man and he's a man and we want to have children. You can't, but we'll adopt children. They have. Some may have been raised openly and honestly. Maybe they adopted a boy, and even though that boy has been exposed to them in that relationship, but he understands his relationship as a boy, and later coming into a man, going into the puberty stage, and he's attracted to women. And he goes on to be perfectly fine in a relationship with women. A heterosexual relationship with women. It's the same thing as two women adopting a girl and so forth. Every time I say that, I think about that Caucasian from Duke University that adopted those boys and just sodomized and just really, oh man. Or what's her name? Charlize Theron out of Azania, South Africa. Adopted those boys and made them girls. You should have adopted some girls, bitch. Excuse me, I don't usually call them. I apologize about that. Because I don't usually do that, but it just angers me to the point that this woman, because of her status and stature, she could do this. And these young boys have become victims. But they are. We become victims of a system that they have created. And we're trying to make them understand that their system is not good for us and do something about it. And they are like, no, you adjust. This is ours. This is our system. And you know, when they put them statues up in the South, all throughout the South, even though one part of the documentary, the brother is talking to the sister, I think in Memphis, who got Nathan Bedford Forrest, because Nathan Bedford Forrest, who Forrest Gump is named after,
the fictional character Forrest Gump is named after Nathan Bedford Forrest. When you think Alabama, but Nathan Bedford Forrest, Tennessee, and where the Klan started, Pulaski, Tennessee. And so in Memphis, he and Jefferson Davis, the first presidents, I think the only president of the Confederacy, their statues were taken down. You know? Sister got the community support, and of course there were many Caucasians who are adamant against that. Their thing is that this is a part of our history. But understand that these things didn't come up right after the Civil War. These came up in the 30s and 40s as an act of intimidation, striking fear into us. That's why they put them up there. That we still running it. Wow. It's almost time for us to go. Okay. Well, great to hear from Brother Ted Lusk. And I'm hoping and praying that it continues on. I hope to hear from him Wednesday or by Friday, letting me know that he's doing well. I'm going to give him a call myself, you know. And for all those who are listening, hope to see you on Wednesday. Supposed to have a guest. I'm still working on it. And I know I'll be leaving again in August, next month. The International Association of Black Professional Firefighters. Golden anniversary. Our 50th. It's supposed to have been in 2020, but because of the situation, we're having it this year as a 50th anniversary in Hartford, Connecticut. I'm really looking forward to the conference. I know that, unfortunately, if it was held when it should have been, there were some brothers that I really wanted to see, but they're now ancestors, and that's just how it goes. One particularly was the Baron. The Baron was a character. He was old, way back. I think he was like 90-something years old. But he always came. Always came to the conventions. I remember he had some African stuff on. He'd come seeking me out there. I'm looking. Oh, Baron, you look marvelous, brother. You look marvelous. Yeah. So, like I said, What I did today, I wanted to do a couple of things. I hope I achieved them with your approval. I wanted to, a couple of birthdays that I want to acknowledge. Lee Morgan, the jazz trumpeter, and of course his documentary on Netflix. They Call Me Morgan. And the piece he did with the Jazz Messengers honoring Clifford Brown, a man who helped him. And then, of course, the Dramatics, my favorite singing group, and Willie Ford. Yesterday was his birthday as well, and I didn't know that he had passed. I really did. Thought he was still, because he had developed a group of Dramatics, and LJ had his group of Dramatics. And that ain't the first time that has happened. That is not the first time that happened, and that happened with other groups as well, especially when there's breakups, you know. So, we heard Me and Mrs. Jones, classic by the Dramatics. Yeah. Yep. Hello, Brother Lusk. Brother Ted.
Yeah. Real quick. I understand that Charles Morrow passed. This was a black barber back in the day, and I think that I may have heard correctly that he was one that created the Afro pick. We might have to look into that a little bit more for accuracy.
Okay.
But yeah, he had transitioned.
Okay. And where was he out of?
San Diego, California.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Yeah, because I know that, I mean, the Afro pick itself, it comes out of Kemet, comes out of Egypt, and they have pictures of that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. You can see that, but I think what you might be saying, especially the metal ones, the ones that I use from my hair from way back in the day, 'cause I had a big fro, man. back in late 60s and early 70s, man. So, 'cause then I had to cut it down when I got on the fire department, you know. But yeah, okay. Okay, Brother Lusk.
Very good.
You too, my brother. Peace to you, my friend. All right, peace.
Peace and blessings to you too as well, brother.
All right on. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie. Well, no. Shimhotep. Let me get it right. Shimhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed day. Hope to see you on Wednesday, family. Peace.